from NBC Studios in New York, it's Late Night with Conan O'Brien.
Conan O'Brien will mark 10 years on the air this week with a primetime special. A decade ago, the chance of that seemed small. Producer Lorne Michaels had unexpectedly picked Mr. O'Brien above a dozen better-known names to slip into David Letterman's time slot after Mr. Letterman decamped for CBS. Lorne Michaels mostly knew Conan O'Brien from writers' meetings of the Saturday Night Live staff. He'd often act out his ideas. Mr. Michaels thought Mr. O'Brien had the kind of wry and lively mind and manner that might appeal to viewers who'd made time to watch David Letterman after midnight. Now, David Letterman was revered by the post-Johnny Carson audience for being edgy, daring, dark, and cutting. Conan O'Brien was just not known. When the curtains parted on that first broadcast, viewers saw a tall, 30-year-old man with a Woody Woodpecker pompadour and a case of self-doubt.
Something's wrong. Something's really wrong.
Critics were not kind. NBC kept him on, but kept signing him to a series of contracts that lasted only 13 weeks. Today, Mr. O'Brien is approaching the midpoint of a 4-year contract, and he's made a point of scarcely changing his office in Rockefeller Center from what it was 10 years ago, when it didn't seem wise to make himself comfortable.
I knew this wasn't going to be easy, and I remember telling a friend before I was even approached to possibly audition for this job that no one, you can't replace David Letterman. They're not going to find anyone to replace David Letterman. That was as a casual observer.
All right. Shh. Shh. Hi, America.
Frankly, I thought he was a totally hopeless case.
Among critics, none were more pointed than Tom Shales of the Washington Post.
I called the show Roadkill, and I remember saying, Conan O'Brien has no business on television. Conan came on maybe too strong, maybe too anxious to look different, doing a kind of Dada-esque, surreal show, a little bit in the style of Ernie Kovacs in terms of wacky sight gags and things out of left field and right field, for that matter, and way out in the distant fields.
Today, those fields must look pretty green. Mr. O'Brien's contract reportedly pays $8 million a year. When we visited him, we noted that he keeps a picture of himself with Johnny Carson in his corner office, alongside a note from Rosie O'Donnell reading, "You rock." But otherwise, he has more gimmicks and toys than signed glossies. Mr. O'Brien still has the office of a smart frat boy prankster. A videotape labeled Only the Strong Survive sits conspicuously on a corner of his desk. On the wall, there's a grid for his 10th anniversary show. One card says, Chevy Chase celebrates 10th anniversary of cancellation. They're reminders of how many talk show hosts have been canceled over these past 10 years. Conan O'Brien can afford to be expansive to his old critics.
I was not a seasoned performer. I did not have 1/100th of the ability in front of a TV camera in September of 93 that I have now. So I would have been critical of my performance early on.
Last week, our producer went to the library to get the Conan O'Brien file. It begins and ends in September 1993.
Yeah.
Because those first reviews were...
Right.
Of a character, well, we can close this file.
We can close this file. Yeah, I've always thought that I'm a little like the Clint Eastwood character in those westerns where it begins with them beating the crap out of Clint Eastwood and whipping him and hanging him, but they forget to kill him. And they all laugh and get on their horses and ride off, chuckling. And then he eventually recovers and shows up at the edge of town and walks through flames and kills everybody. I just realized that that's a very sinister metaphor, and I wish I hadn't said it. But still, I had that feeling of, oh, they forgot to kill me. They left me alive, and now I'm back, spreading mayhem and destruction. Forget I ever... It's a terrible metaphor. Just terrible.
Why do you think you've been able to succeed over the past 10 years?
Why have I succeeded?
Yeah. Are you uncomfortable?
I'm backed by a very powerful multinational consortium. It's a couple of things. I think I have some innate ability at this. Plus, I work really hard, harder and more intensely than people probably think I do. And there's a third reason, which is that I really want to be here. I always wanted to be doing this more than anybody didn't want me to be doing it, if that makes sense. As much as, you know, people were down on me when I first showed up, I always really wanted to be here.
There are people who even today, find the whole concept of working hard at making people laugh unfathomable.
I remember when I first was a writer at Saturday Night Live, Steve Martin showed up, and I thought, this is going to be great. Steve Martin, who's one of my, he's one of my idols. So I went to the room where Steve Martin was hearing pitches from the different writers, and I was expecting just this burst of humor to come pouring out of the guy, and he's very serious. Someone will pitch an idea, and he'll say, maybe that'd work. And since then, I realized that's just, we take this stuff really seriously, you know, people that do this professionally. You'd never guess that. People see me walking around the streets of Manhattan, and I have kind of a dour look on my face, or even just a neutral look. And doormen shout out to me, hey, Conan, what's the matter? Cheer up. What's the problem? Because they're not used to seeing me that way, and they don't realize that I'm, you know, mildly depressed Irish Catholic who's worried, and, you know, that I'm, this is me in that state.
Conan O'Brien grew up the third of six children in Brookline, Massachusetts. His father is a professor at Harvard Medical School. His mother is a retired partner at a law firm in downtown Boston. Conan O'Brien went to Harvard. He says his idol while he was there was not John F. Kennedy or John Updike, but Bob Hope. Mr. O'Brien became president of the Harvard Lampoon Humor magazine, like Robert Benchley, George Plimpton, and John Updike before him. But instead of lacing humor into essays, fiction, and plays, Conan O'Brien began to churn it out for series television. He wrote for HBO's Not Necessarily the News and Saturday Night Live, where he helped create the pumped-up Hans and Franz routines. He then moved out to Hollywood for 2 years to be part of the company of writers for Fox's The Simpsons. The comedy he's brought to his own show has the bite of topical satire snapping out of the familiar look of cartoons. The show has a puppet dog, Triumph, who doesn't bark but hurls insults. They feature absurdist interviews in which the faces of famous people, President Bush, Saddam Hussein, have a set of lips superimposed on their chins in the cheap and cheesy style of old Clutch Cargo cartoons. On a recent show, Mr. O'Brien moderated an energy debate between Arnold Schwarzenegger and the Incredible Hulk.
Hulk, no, there are no easy answers. Hulk formed committee to promulgate regulatory reform while simultaneously exploring alternate sources of energy.
Wow. What do you have to say to that, Arnold?
You're stupid.
There are also regular visits from a self-abusive bear in a diaper.
There's a thread throughout a lot of the bits. There's a lot of puppets. There's Triumph the puppet. There's the masturbating bear. I really like comedy that's visually silly. And I've always had a cartoony sense of humor. I think it's why I was a good fit at The Simpsons. I think it was a lot of the sketches that I wrote for Saturday Night Live had a sort of cartoonish, abstract element to them. And I always wanted this show to be funny if the sound was down, like that it would catch your attention.
The demographic bullseye of the target audience of the 2.5 million people who tune in to Conan O'Brien are those viewers who are old enough to stay up for the news, but young enough to stay up past Nightline. They were born after Sonny and Cher broke up, but before the Soviet Union split.
Okay, so we'll have him pee on the door.
Each weekday at 3 p.m., in Studio 6A, Conan O'Brien sits on set and rehearses with head writer Mike Sweeney and executive producer Jeff Ross nearby. 3 hours from now, Antonio Banderas and Zoe Saldana will sit in those seats, but now the three men riffle through material for that night's show, searching for what will stay and what will be cast out.
Recently, we had a bunch of kids from the Washington Elementary School in Putnam, New York, visit the show on a field trip. Afterwards, they drew pictures of the visit. We thought it'd be fun to share some of them with you in a little segment we call Kids Drawings. Audience, huge applause. Squeam! 8-year-old Seth Phillips drew this one when Mr. T came by. The kids learned that he didn't like being interrupted in the makeup chair. And, doesn't like... Oh, he takes a while to see, though.
14 kids' drawings, which, of course, were drawn by staff artists, are propped up for review. Mr. O'Brien finds the art obscure on some, the punchlines on some others slow. Those six drawings that make it onto the show, though, seem to titillate and animate the mostly young, mostly male audience.
And finally, fourth grader Elizabeth Riker drew this one. It's me showing Harry Potter author J.K. Rowling that I also have a scar in the shape of a lightning bolt. And that was a pretty amazing night we had.
There is only one woman writer on Mr. O'Brien's staff, Much of the humor in the office, as well as the show, seems to be of the college boy kind.
I have heard people say that the kind of a boys' club atmosphere around here.
I have to say there's been almost that kind of atmosphere at every single comedy show that I've ever worked on. And not that that's a defense, mm-hmm. but that's just... And I see some of this in my own family, where my mother, you know, it's there was kind of like license for us, the boys, to be a certain way. But if the girls start doing it too much, my mother would be worried that they were being unladylike. And that there are just much bigger problems. And to say, well, let's just fix it at the late night talk show level seems kind of like a skewed idea.
Is there more comedy and less talk on the late night shows?
When I first got this job, the original head writer, Robert Smigel, and I thought of the talking as the defeat. You know, that's your concession. Okay, those are the vegetables. You have to, oh, you got to talk to these celebrities about their damn project. But we're going to have as little of that as possible and just supply as much comedy as we can. The trend, I think, is definitely in late night television has been more towards produced comedy. And also partially because there are just more shows where there's only talk. Why should I try and be Charlie Rose when there's a Charlie Rose? Let Charlie Rose be Charlie Rose, but you're not going to see the masturbating bear on Charlie Rose until he has a book out about Theodore Roosevelt.
Tom Shale says he does not regret what he wrote 10 years ago. But today, Conan O'Brien's show is one of the few that he watches on his own time.
I watch Conan's show more regularly than any other late night show, even David Letterman's, because it's the one that's most likely to make me laugh out loud. There's a tone, there's a something, a wavelength to that show that is unique and rejuvenates itself every night and always seems fresh. I think he's the brightest light now in that firmament there of late-night TV.
Conan O'Brien says he does not see his late-night show as leading him to something else that he wants to do. Movies, a sitcom, ranching, deep-sea diving. He says he wants to do his show as long as he's able, and he is just turned 40 years old. But he knows that any compliment he receives for outlasting his critics only recalls their old blasts.
They'll do it when I'm 50, you know, when I'm 60. They'll still be saying to me, no matter what I accomplish, they'll be bringing up those early tough times. If a giant meteor was headed towards Earth, and I quickly constructed a rocket ship and flew out there and deflected the meteor, saving Earth from certain destruction, the headline would be, O'Brien saves Earth, comma, after rocky start.
Conan O'Brien celebrates his 10th anniversary Sunday on NBC. To hear more of our conversation, you can go to npr.org.